The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you currently unemployed or frustrated in your job search? Why? There are no excuses. You have the power to find a new career and to move into your new dream job. Welcome to Lynn Radice Live. Get a job, no excuses. Lynn and her guests will show you that there are plenty of job resources and pivotal people surrounding you to help you in your job search. Be different. Stand up. Stand out. Let's get hired. Here's your host, Lynn Radice.
Hello and welcome back. This is Lynn Radice, and we've had a busy week here. We have lots of emails. We've had lots of fun things go on. We had the clocks change. We had the elections and Halloween. So we've had a lot going on this week. And along with that, I figured we'd do interviewing and some interview horror stories to go along with the Halloween theme. But today, what I've done is we've brought back in Mike Onet. And for fun, Mike Onet is with jobsforstoremanagers.com, and he's also an online career center builder. And he's also had, you know, over 20 years experience in recruiting. And so today, I thought that it would be fun to bring him back and also talk to him about interviewing in general, also let him talk to you about his new site that he's built. And welcome, Mike. How are you?
Things are great. I just had a difficulty getting the food coloring off my skin for my Halloween costume. So today I don't look like the Incredible Hulk. I'm no longer green.
Oh my goodness. Well, welcome. So today I thought it would be fun to kind of go through some of our interview stories and interview horror stories. But first, I'd love you to talk a little bit about what you're doing. And I guess you have a brand new site coming out, and I wanted the audience to be aware of that. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, we have quite a few job boards that we've launched in the past that are currently live, but the newest offering is a website called Jobs for Store Managers. Jobs for Store Managers is a site specifically for store management in the retail world. It's a site where, you know, all the major players can advertise their management needs. It's a niche site which, for keyword relevancy, which it'll be, you know, in the near future, it'll be ranked very, very high. You know, it's just an easy place to go to that's very point specific. We're all the best employers. We'll be advertising their openings. We already have commitments from quite a few, actually, Fortune 500 companies. And so actually some of the biggest employers in the world have already agreed to advertise on the site, so we're very excited about it.
Well, it sounds like it's definitely a needed product, especially in retail. I know that, you know, store managers, gosh, there's tons of stores, and it looks like there's always, you know, openings. So it definitely sounds like it's something that's needed and valued, and, you know, it sounds like a very targeted niche market. So I'm thrilled for you. I absolutely, you know, if anyone is looking to hire, would love to get you engaged with this job site, as well as if anyone is looking to find a new role, obviously, it sounds like it would be a great opportunity. So, George, jobsforstoremanagers.com, feel free to review that and obviously give us your feedback. So if you have a moment, feel free to give us a call in at 1-866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Or you can feel free to email us at lynnradicelive@gmail.com. And already we have, gosh, a lot of emails lined up. It looks like interviewing is a key topic and looks like a lot of interest. So I thought we'd start today by, I guess, a little bit of humor and find out, you know, a couple of horror stories that, you know, with Mike and my experience in about 20 years of experience in interviewing, you know, so people don't feel so bad as far as what's happened to them. Mike, what are some, you know, maybe give us two or three different stories that you can tell them as far as, you know, some horror stories you've had on your side?
Well, there's some funny ones and there's some actually horrific ones. in regard to the horrific ones, I've seen it where people have gone into into an interview scenario, and they do very, very well. They present a resume, they have their credentials, their education, and you know, within about 6 months or a year, the employer finds out that their employment history isn't quite what it was supposed to have been, and that their education has been falsified, and that they use another person's social security number.
And wow. That's not good.
And the employer realizes this is not even the same person that was on the resume. And so obviously that's probably like a horror story that it's probably the worst. So what's happened in the last few years is employers are vetting their candidates much more carefully. So even if it's going to be about education, I know in the healthcare world, they're extremely careful when it comes down to verifying education and your clinical credentials. So, but that concept of vetting your candidates is broadening to all sectors of business. So I'd say that be very, very careful what you put down as real, legitimate. But don't embellish. Just it's better to leave things off than to put too much. So that's my advice on that. And I would say that I was helping a firm in New York City. They were looking for an upper level VP. Actually, it was CIO position for a large firm in New York City, and the candidate. Thought it'd be really funny if he showed up with flip flops, surfer shorts, and a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy!
He had a great conversation with the hiring team. It was actually a Skype conversation with a panel of people that went along great, and they were joking around about surfing and how people like go south for the winter for vacationing. That didn't turn out too well, especially when the president of the company was not in that first phone call, and he was quite aghast at the fact the guy had a Hawaiian shirt on. So I'd say that try to dress appropriately.
Even with inside jokes behind, exactly. You just never know what you're walking into if the person doesn't show up, right?
You never have a better opportunity than your first impression.
Exactly. So, well, that's scary. It's funny. On my side, I mean, there's definitely been lots of different moments. Somebody who didn't show up because they couldn't find parking. I guess there wasn't enough parking spaces and they couldn't be creative enough to walk farther. And I was like, wow. So, I mean, there's been some crazy stories. Why, always park and go to the interview. That's a pretty basic concept. But, even on the manager side, sometimes you get feedback from candidates on, what the manager's presentation is and I had one manager who just, he does not interview. I mean, he just sits there. He doesn't ask any questions, and you have to take control of the interview. So you have to sit there and interview him the whole time. He won't ask anything. And to me, I just found that really interesting. As a candidate, I don't know what I would have done. You go and you sit in the room. You're expected kind of to have a conversation, and the guy doesn't ask any questions. So, I mean, it can go both sides. It can be, either the candidate or the hiring manager. But either which way, why we're here today is actually to talk to you a little bit about interviews, some questions that may come up, some problems that may come up, the good, bad, and ugly. So other than that, as far as today's show, we'd like to go through the interview questions, what was right and wrong, kind of the process of interviewing, what to expect. And then we have all these great emails that we're going to go through in a lot of different states that people are asking, specific interview questions. So I think it'll be really great. And also, if we can get a couple of people to give us a quick call in, I know some people prefer the email route, but feel free to call us once again at 866-472-5790 at any time. So I guess firstly, as far as an interview is actually a sale. You actually have to come out. It's a $1 million sale. I mean, it's the best sale of your life. You have to come out with the job. And so there is a process in interviewing. In interviewing, you need to probe. You need to find out what they're looking for. You need to sell yourself. You need to find out what objections they have. You need to overcome those objections, and then you need to close. And that's really the process of interviewing. I mean, you definitely have to build that rapport. You definitely have to ask the right questions so that you can sell exactly what that manager is looking for and what that company is looking for, overcome any objections that he has on experience or things that are wrong with your background, and then close and tell him why you know, you are the best candidate and best fit for the job. So, I mean, in my experience, that's really what, you know, you need to do as far as an actual interview. So those are really the steps of an interview. But as far as specific questions, you know, I'm looking here and there is a question from Pittsburgh. It looks like Mary from Pittsburgh has asked us, what happens if you take a step backward career-wise? How do you present that? They went from from VP to director, it looks like, and they want to know how you would present that. So I'll defer to you, Mike. What would you say with that?
Well, it's a given in any career that sometimes they can take a lateral or step back to move forward. It's the old take one step backwards to take two steps forward. Because in some environments, you may have capped out your environment. So you're the top of the totem pole, except for maybe perhaps the president or a senior VP that has so much tenure and so much experience and has many years experience. You know you're never going to be able to displace that person. So, and every company has a different title also. So in other words, if you're a district manager level with a major conglomerate, that's actually higher on the org chart than a smaller company where you may be the senior VP. So there's a lot of relevancy as far as the environment and the responsibilities. Most very skilled hiring managers will understand the differentiations, but it does not hurt to point that out in an interview that, you know, explain the
exactly
reason why.
Exactly. I think that's my feel as well, is that, you know, a director at some company is a VP. Some companies don't name any other people VPs, you know, so it really does depend on the size and scope of the role. I think, you know, it is how you present it. I mean, if you go in and say, hey, I took a step back and this is why I did it, that's one thing. You can present it, you know, as, you know, I took it, but it's the exact same role, or it's a higher level role, but with more scope and responsibility. So there's many different ways of presenting it, as long as it makes sense. And as you said, so it definitely depends. But that is a great – go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just want to say there's another good trick you can do is when you know you're interviewing for a specific title, you can actually do a little research and find out who had that role before you. And then you can go on LinkedIn or you can look online and try to find that person's background. And you can see what their career track was and what titles they had prior to you interviewing. And that might lessen the blow a little bit or some of your concern as to – your change of title or the level of position that you're going for.
And I feel as though that is exactly what they're looking for, is how you present it, not so much the, you know, why. It's the why behind it and how you present it. But we will be going to break in a little bit. So I just wanted to get back in touch and say, okay, we will be going to break in a little bit, but we've got tons and tons of emails here to go through. We're thrilled to have you back. And once again, feel free to give us a quick call in at 1-866-472-5790. Follow us on Twitter at Lynn Radice Live, or feel free to email us at lynnradicelive@gmail.com. And we will be going to break in about two more seconds, and we will be right back. Thanks.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Hi, I'm Barry Sloan of Newtek, the Small Business Authority. As a small business owner, you know how difficult getting a bank loan can be. With a simple phone interview, we can pre-qualify you in 48 hours. That's why we're the nation's largest non-bank government-guaranteed lender. So whether you need $5 million or $50,000, you can count on Newtek, the Small Business Authority. Call us at 8552-THE-SBA or visit us at THESBA.com.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
What do business and sports have in common? Both are based on competition, and the goal of each is the same: to win. If you're in business, you need an edge over your competitors. You need to innovate and improve. You need to make adjustments to stay ahead of your competition. Tune in to The Business Locker Room with Kelly Riggs. Get the playbook and the coaching you need to improve your business performance. The Business Locker Room airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Lynn Radice Live. To reach our show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to lynnradicelive@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Lynn Radice Live, and this is Lynn Radice. I am here today with Mike Onet, and Mike Onet is a job board guru, has created many different sites, and he has a new board that he's just created, jobsforstoremanagers.com. We're with him today. We'll be talking about interviewing, but Mike, I'd like to give you the floor again to talk a little bit about the store managers and also some of your niche sites that you're doing.
Well, the advantage for a niche site for an employer is that they want to find the job seeker while not encouraging the job seeker to be a job shopper, which means if you have a niche site which is very, very focused on one narrow area of business or one sector of business, the job seeker does not have to go to multiple sites to try to find that job. And that's the beauty of the Internet. It wants you to be going to the most relevant place possible. So the advantage of going to a niche site is the employers can advertise that niche job, and you don't have to go to multiple sites. Now, there are aggregates out there like Indeed and other sites, but they actually play a lot of games in regard to where they place the jobs. They give preferential ranking based on what company is willing to pay the most for their posts to be up. So in other words, this company is paying $1.15 per click, and this other company is paying 5 cents per click. And they also scrape a bunch of different job boards. To be an aggregate, they have to be able to scrape existing job boards and place all the jobs in one place. However, the ranking and where how you find these is purely based on the employer's ability to pay, and that really doesn't make a level playing field. Or on a site like Dusher Store Managers, everybody has an equal format. It's done accurately and properly based on geographic location and skill set. There really aren't any games they played on a job board such as Josh's Store Managers. I just wanted to clarify what the differences between that and the aggregates.
Oh, I appreciate that. I think that's good. And I apologize. I want to interrupt you a bit. We do happen to have a caller. We have Deirdre from Philadelphia. Deirdre, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really enjoying this program. And I am making a note here. No Hawaiian shirts. That is excellent.
None.
Thank you for that advice.
That's great, Deirdre. Thank you.
Well, if you're 5'5", you weigh 360 pounds, it probably is not going to work out.
Well, fortunately, I don't qualify, so there you go. Well, this is all great to me because I'm thinking, I'm not definite, but I'm thinking of making a career change. And it's been probably 20 years since I've interviewed, and back when I interviewed, I did fairly well. But when I start to think about interviewing now, the thing that comes up for me is that so many of the advice always said, so much of it is, well, it's important to build rapport. But isn't everybody building rapport the same way? I mean, the obvious answer seem to me is that you dress well, not in a Hawaiian t-shirt. You smile, you're friendly, and you have confident body language. But there's got to be something more to it than that. And I was wondering if you experts could address that.
Well, oh, absolutely. Go ahead. You can go.
Well, I suppose the way rapport is something you get from having some commonalities between you and the other person. It always helps to do a little bit of research as to, typically you would know who was interviewing you prior to going in.
Mm-hmm.
You can do some background checks on the people. You can look on the Internet, see if there's any references to anything that they've written, points of interest that coincide with your own. You can be very observant in an interview. It's like some people have a very difficult time striking up a cold conversation. But all I have to do is really just be very observant, whether it's the way they dress or a mannerism or the type of voice. And simply you can just ask very basic questions like, where are you from? Your accent is not really typical of this area. But try to just be very observant and ask a few questions that are sort of glancing, but also show that you have a common interest in who they are as a person, and you have no idea where that might lead you.
Okay.
I agree. I agree, Deirdre. And as far as what I would say is, you can, as Mike said, look around the office. I mean, you can comment on, oh, you're into the Phillies, or, you know, hey, your kids are gorgeous. I mean, just basics like that, I think, are always great. But then, you know, additionally, as to Mike's suggestion, is you can turn around. If you get really nervous, and some people do, and they drop all their questions and they forget everything they were going to ask, go in and pretend that you're interviewing them. You know, okay. What is your background? How long have you been here? What do you like about the company? What don't you like? You know, just a couple of questions that all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, the pressure's off me. I don't have to answer anything. You know, I think you'll just get a little bit more comfortable. You know, you throw a couple out and he has to answer first or she has to answer first. So, you know, that's a little bit easier. But yeah, I think also just looking around the office and seeing, you know, most times people have things that, you know, make sense. Oh gosh, that's neat. You know, that kind of thing. But I think that's a great question, and building rapport is very important. I think doing the research, as he mentioned, that's always great. Oh, I saw you came, you know, I looked your profile up on LinkedIn. You know, I saw you came from Aramark. I saw you came from Sears, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, as a matter of fact, you know, my dad used to work there or whatever. I think that will always show, you know, a little bit more confidence for you.
Great. You well, thank you so much. It's been very helpful.
Oops. No worries. Thank you so much for calling in today, Deirdre. Have a great day. Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye. I'm sorry, Mike, you were saying something?
How many candidates have you actually prepped in your lifetime? I know for myself, the last time I sort of did a little bit of reflection, I probably prepped about 2,500 candidates prior to interviews. Do you do a lot of prepping with candidates prior to interviews?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think everyone, you know, interviews differently. And it is. It's a personal interview, right? So I think that's kind of a challenge that, you know, everybody, you know, interviews differently. Some people are more introverts. Some people are more extroverts. Some people are very salesy. Some people are very technical. So it really, you know, the skill set, the personality type, you know, has to kind of blend with the manager. And, you know, some people, you know, they have a lot of, you know, fears about that, and they're not used to it. But, you know, to tell you the truth, I always tell people that, you know, their resume got them the interview. They're halfway home. You know, they're in the interview, which is, you know, where they need to be. The company has already seen your resume. They brought you in for a reason. Now we have to go through the rest of these questions and get the job offer. But I do think, you know, people don't understand. People are interested in you. That's why you're sitting in that seat. So... that's been my experience. But, you know, we have someone from Virginia here, and they have that they need to relocate to California. And it looks like they want to say, you know, what are the steps that they should take to relocate to California? I know it seems like relocation, a lot of people have to do that for whatever reason. And, you know, do you relocate unemployed? Do you relocate while you're, you know, looking? You know, what do you put on your resume? How do you relocate? And that's a great question. So if we could, you know, address this candidate, that'd be great.
It's a loaded question, because if you have to relocate, you have time to maintain your current position where you live while you look for a position in California? Or is it a move that's very, you know, abrupt and you have to get out there quickly? Companies love to hire somebody who's already employed, because if you're already employed, it sort of tells them, hey, this person's employable. And there's not an issue as to whether they're employable or not, he's already working. So they love it when people are currently looking and they're being very calculated. They don't appear to be desperate. Because when you're not employed, people they wonder, why is this person not working? Is there a problem with them? Are they malcontent? Is it money? What's going on? There's always a situation on some level or a circumstance. If you're not currently working. But if you're already working and you're looking, well, my suggestion is look, be very, very proactive. But if you are stuck, then you got to really hit the ground running as fast as possible, at least in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I think there's definitely a couple of ways to do that. Number one is, I think on the resume somewhere needs to be a local town. So if you happen to have friends or family in that area, I mean, most people aren't going to pull a resume from Virginia, you know, if they're in California. So, you know, somewhere on the resume, if you can put, you know, a local address, that way they know and, you know, that you're actually moving there and that maybe you'll move on your own, you know, and you'll pay the relocation expense and you'll at least get, you know, considered. I think if you have a different state, sometimes they might not consider unless you put somewhere on there willing to relocate. That's another way to do that as well. But it's very, very challenging to figure out whether or not you want to take yourself out of the market and move there and then be a local candidate or, you know, as I said, try to interview and you know, take a lot of time off and constantly fly out there and put out the expense because a lot of companies are not picking up housing. They're not picking up relocation costs. They're not picking up flights for initial interviews. So, you know, it used to be the standard that when you relocated, you got this great package and everything worked really well. Now you're kind of lucky if you get a sign-on, and most times you might not even get that. So it is, you know, you have to figure out why you're moving, you know, what's important to you, as you mentioned. But that is a great question. So thank you very much for that email. I guess we have a couple more experiences. My goodness. We have a 2.0 GPA from a college grad, and he really is concerned whether or not he can get a job. So what are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, I mean, there's an old adage that the people who get straight A's usually teach, and the people who are getting C's are the ones that are making all the money. So I wouldn't really worry about the GPA as much as the fact that you completed your coursework. You truly have to think out of the box, and there's a lot of merit in, as an entry level person to getting into a company that offers the environment that you like. It does not necessarily mean that you have to go through the front door right to the department that you want. A lot of companies love to hire from within, and they also love to bring people from one department to another once you gain mastery of one area of business, a focus of the business. Plus, you'll have a chance to meet the players that are running the company. You'll be able to meet the key people. So there's a lot of familiarity within the corporate doors does not breed contempt. It really breeds another option for you. So
I agree. I agree with that, Mike. I think, you know, as far as what you bring up, too, even though you have a 2.0 GPA, once again, if the resume is in the door, that's half the battle. So they're interested in you, even though you have a 2.0. But you need to bring up all your awards, your activities, your leadership, your team building, all the things that make sense, you know, why you're there, you know, not just the GPA. And you're right. I think that that's real important to remember is the company already knows that. You know, that it's on your resume most times. And if the company already knows that, you're halfway through the battle. We will be going to break in a little bit. I think this is so exciting. This is a very fun show here with all the interviews and all the interview questions. And we're getting constantly more and more Gmails. So we have a lot more to get through. Feel free to give us a call at 1-866-472-5790. Once again, this is Lynn Radice, and we have Mike Onet. We have two expert recruiters here with over 20 years experience. There's not many interview questions we haven't heard. We'd love to help you. And once again, 866-472-5790. Feel free to give us a call. It looks like we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Hi, I'm Barry Sloan of Newtek, the Small Business Authority. As a small business owner, you know how difficult getting a bank loan can be. With a simple phone interview, we can pre-qualify you in 48 hours. That's why we're the nation's largest non-bank government-guaranteed lender. So whether you need $5 million or $50,000, you can count on Newtek, the Small Business Authority. Call us at 855-2-THE-SBA or visit us at THESBA.com.
Are you a business innovator or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Lynn Radice Live. To reach our show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to lynnradicelive@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hello and welcome back. Once again, this is Lynn Radice, and I'm here today with Mike Onet. And Mike has a new job site that he just created, and that is jobsforstoremanagers.com. He's also an expert recruiter of 20 years, and it looks like we have a wonderful new caller. We have Kathy. We have Kathy from California. How are you, Kathy?
Hi, it's Philadelphia. Kathy from Philadelphia.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And how are you, Kathy?
I'm good. How are you, Lynn?
Good. We have a couple callers on hold, so there you go. But welcome aboard. What can we do for you tonight, Kathy?
So I got let go from my last job around February of this year, and I have a really good interview lined up for Monday next week. And I'm just wondering, I haven't worked in between, so I'm just wondering how in my interview I'm going to cover that, or should I? I don't know. I'm looking for some help here.
So you're unemployed and you're looking for a job, is that, and you want to know how to present that you're unemployed?
That I've been unemployed for the last 9 months or so, yes.
Do they know that you're unemployed right now, currently?
Yes.
They do know. Okay, so that obviously that hasn't scared them, so don't worry about that. There's an assumption that you have a skill set that is desirable to them immediately, so you already have credibility for the fact they brought you in there, so don't worry about validating. Most employers would want to know why you've taken the time off, whether it's for health reasons, helping a family member, whether it's, what circumstances has arisen, that they're going to want to have a story. So just be as forthright as possible based on your comfort level and say it in a very confident way. Because if you sound, and you may even want to rehearse it, because if you sound, well, I just took some time off because, that's not going to sound too good. You need to know exactly what's going on and what's happened and be very confident. In our lives, we change jobs about as often as we buy a new car every 3 to 6 years. So it's a matter of you just owning who you are and being confident that you're there in the first place.
Mike, I think that as far as what I would do too is you want to make it sound like you're being selective. You know, that you're not jumping at the first opportunity, that you want to make sure that it is exactly what your dream job is, that you're being selective, you're doing a lot of research, you want to make sure it's a compatible industry, great management, great leadership, just like your company is. And that's why I'm here today. So, you know, I think that that's a part of it, too. It's how you present it. It's just like, you know, gosh, if you know somebody's, you know, dating, you know, 35 people or they want to be exclusive with you, you know, basically right. I'm out there, you know, I'm interviewing a lot of people, you know, dealing with a lot of companies, but I've targeted your company as a place to work.
So, two-part question for you then, if I may. You had mentioned, Mike, that I might want to rehearse slightly, right, without sounding too pat, but I might want to rehearse really what I've been up to these last 8, 9, 10 months. And I guess I'm wondering, for some of the standard questions that I am expecting in the interview, it's been a while since I've interviewed, should I have rehearsed answers? Or
any dialogue is going to require some preparation when you interview. If you have a bullet point, in other words, let me ask you right now, I noticed that you haven't worked since last February. What's been going on since then?
How would you
answer
instant
that?
Instant role play. This is good.
Ah.
Ouch. Wasn't prepared
way,
for
you
that.
Have, you have beautiful shoes. You look very attractive today. So I could be a little, you know, now you're not so worried about it. So what's happened in the last 8-9 months? What's going on? Why haven't you been working?
All right. Okay. I definitely need to work on a solid answer. Okay.
She's not prepared. So, Mike, what would you give her as an answer? Yeah, I was going to say,
again, if it's something very personal you don't want to divulge, and that happens, and life is life. Life gets in the way. Everybody has a different story. There's no such thing as heaven on earth. So things come up in life. So I wouldn't worry about it. We say there was a family instance came up. In regard, if it's a mental health issue or if it's a physical issue or whatever that you don't really want to divulge, say there was a family situation that came up and I really had to give it my full attention to handle it properly. And that's all I have to say. And if they want to push, like, what is it? Then it says, I don't think my family member would be comfortable in talking about it. And you can be actually talking in the third person if you have to. And, if you're able to work, you're able to work. If you're not, you're not. So, if they're going to do a background, some companies do background checks. So if it's something of an impropriety's perspective, then that's the reality of what's going on. They're probably going to find out. But in most cases, you just really got to be as forthright, but also be confident in what you're saying. People who could take time off for 8-9 months, you can also say something to the effect of, well, there's a situation with my family, I had to address it, and I'm very thankful that I was able to take the time off without feeling the financial burden. And that way, this person must have to act together. They've saved money, or they're in a good financial situation, they're not desperate. And allow them the luxury of actually addressing certain needs or instances in their family or whatnot that otherwise may not have been able to be looked at or helped. So, and it's just not been helped.
I think I do want to be slightly more vague, so I think your input, it's going to be very helpful for me. I do also need to prepare, a response so that I am ready. I'm going to bet you, though, that I'm going to prepare the whole thing, and then they're not even going to ask me about it.
They may not. Well, I will offer one thing, though. Here's a very important thing to realize and understand.
Okay.
You are 100% successful of getting through each day since you worked. Be sure you are today. So that is a testament to your ability to be, onward moving and forward thinking. And here you are today, you've been interviewed. So you're 100% successful at making it to today. Each day you didn't stop working or surviving or breathing or feeding or are you feeding yourself or making do. So that is all right. A lot of people fold and they withdraw, and you haven't done that, which is really great.
Thank you.
I agree totally with that, Kathy. Your attitude is going to drive your experience. You've got the great attitude. It's Monday. It's a new day. Go get that job. And feel free to follow up with me online. You can feel free to email me, and we can maybe put together a little bit more of a strategy offline at LynnRadiceLive@gmail. But, it's Monday. There's plenty of time. We can probably follow up offline as well. Okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you both.
Thank you for calling in today. Have a great evening.
I'm just lucky I'm not interviewing on Monday because after my amazing Hulk experience for Halloween of being green, I look a little bit more like celery now with my color. So I got a few more days before that wears off. So I'm lucky that I'm not going on Monday like she is.
Well, we're thrilled that this is on radio and not on the internet and not in video. Thank you very much, Mike, for that. But I think that brings up a great point. It is. I mean, there's a lot of unemployed people out there, and it can get so frustrating. And she's at least preparing herself. She's coming up with a good answer. She knows it might be a challenging question, a challenging moment for her, but she's got the right attitude. So, I do believe Kathy is going to get a job, and, maybe I can follow up with her offline as well. I think that's an excellent, excellent question. I know, I guess that's the other thing as far as references. A lot of people have asked as far as references, what do they normally give? What do they normally ask for? I think in my experience, people ask for two managers and two peers. And I think especially if you've been let go, fired, et cetera, you know, where do you get those two managers and two peers? You know, the peers are usually easier to come by, especially if you got let go. But then you kind of have to be creative and kind of reach out to other departments. You know, if you've had any indirect reporting responsibilities and people like that that you've actually worked with, worked under, I think that that's always helpful to kind of reach out to other departments and ask, as well as, you know, a lot of managers cannot give out the information. They can usually just give out times and dates of employment in this day and age. So, you know, they'll try to get it out of a reference as far as, you know, what exactly went down, but most times they can give out times and dates of employment. What is your experience with references?
Well, I know that a lot of companies that I deal with, they want to have two, you know, management leaders above them, and they want to have one peer and one personal reference. I typically run four references. Some companies like to have three, just for the fact that I want to be very thorough. I know as a recruiter, I love to get peer references and even more employer references. So I may even have a list of five or six references that are peers and superiors, because from as a recruiter perspective, I like to network and I want to know who's who, and who knows that those peers may be a potential candidate for the future, or the upline might be a future employer looking for some recruiting services. So I like to, I work a little bit different than maybe perhaps some recruiters do, but I like to work on four.
And I think that that's important. I think four seems to be a standard number. So, you know, you get as many as you can. It can't be family, obviously. It definitely needs to be people who've worked with you at the company. And then, yeah, different levels. Sometimes, you know, within a matrixed environment, you can get, you know, other people. But you're right. It's got to be people at the manager level or above that actually have worked for you and can attest for your workability. I mean, standard questions that they're going to ask are times and dates of employment, why you left, when you left, and if you are available for rehire. I mean, that is the key question. And that is one question you need to know, you know, if you're available for rehire or not, because that is, you know, a question that will get people turned down. You know, if you're not available for rehire, you know, it's whether or not they can disclose that. Usually all they can give out is times and dates of employment. But references are key.
I always want to make sure that I always tell people, absolutely confirm and verify with your references that they're okay with being called. Make sure that they know they're going to be called in regard to a reference check, and that they're okay with it, because getting a call to blue sometimes is not necessarily the best thing. Also, if your reference is unavailable, or if you leave a number that reference is no longer at that company, or the number is no longer valid, it looks a little bit sketchy.
And even, you know, it's funny, I had a nanny who was asking for references, and it was interesting because, you know, even if the person is gray and they leave just a little bit of hesitation, do not give them that person as a reference, because you don't know exactly what they're going to say. I mean, they have to say, of course so, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if they're any kind of reservation, I highly recommend not leaving them as a reference. I mean, I think that's very, very important. you know that, right, Mike?
I like to leave children as my reference whenever I can.
Yeah. You know, we will be coming back in a little bit. We do have, you know, another break we'll be going to. This is, you know, there's about 20 more emails that we have here on the Gmail. It seems to be everybody wants to email me today, which is good. If you want to call in, feel free to give us a quick call. You have two experts here that have lots of answers for you for your interview questions. And we know that your interviewing is very personal. I mean, everybody's job search is personal. And that is, you know, the difference here is that we can provide, you know, real-time feedback, real-time interview help at 1-866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. When we come back, we will go through a lot more of these interview questions, and it looks like we're going to break, and we'll be right back. Talk to you soon.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Hi, I'm Barry Sloan of Newtek, the Small Business Authority.
As a small business owner, you know how difficult getting a bank loan can be. With a simple phone interview, we can pre-qualify you in 48 hours. That's why we're the nation's largest non-bank government-guaranteed lender. So whether you need $5 million or $50,000, you can count on Newtek, the Small Business Authority. Call us at 855-2-THE-SBA or visit us at THESBA.com.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Does your business, like many, face obstacles to becoming successful? Would you love to have an open forum of entrepreneurial ideas and best practices brought to you each week? Tune in for The Second Stage with hosts Brendan Anderson and Jeffrey Kadlec. We'll spotlight entrepreneurs and growing companies that are creating a vibrant economic base, as well as addressing some of the obstacles that could be standing in the way of your success. Listen Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Lynn Radice Live. To reach our show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to lynnradicelive@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hello and welcome back. This is Lynn Radice, and today I'm here with Mike Onet. Mike has actually built a new career site, jobsforstoremanagers.com, and we are talking a lot about interview questions. We have so many emails from some great callers all across the country, and right now we're going to go through some tougher interview questions or some standard interview questions. So it looks like we have, this is a good one, always we have Bill from D.C., and he wants to know weaknesses. That's always his struggle, and he wants to know some great answers for weaknesses and what we traditionally would recommend. Weaknesses, I always say you have to bring up something that is not a true weakness. You know, they're looking for you to say something that doesn't make sense and, you know, it makes their interview process easier. With weaknesses, I would suggest something that is not a weakness, something like you're basically a workaholic or, you know, something like a perfectionist or, you know, that you know, trying to find, you know, I guess a better work-life balance because you work so much. I don't know. Something that's traditionally not a weakness is highly recommendable. But what is your thought on that, Mike?
Well, I tell you, if I were asked my weakness, I can't do more than 5 reps of 285 pounds at the bench. So that'd be a weakness.
Well, that's a good weakness.
Yeah, and if it's not that weakness, then I typically say that I've been accused of being too hard of a worker, or I'm a workaholic, or you know, I tend to be the office a little bit early, which sometimes people think they're on the clock when they shouldn't be. You know, things along those lines, typically flattering things that the employer may want to see. But they also don't want somebody who's going to have, who may go into burnout also. So don't make it sound like you're such a person that's going to go through an absolute meltdown because you're going 24/7, 365 also. You know, you may say your weakness is the fact that you sometimes get frustrated when, you know, the success is realized in the timeline that you expect or want from your employees or something along those lines. And you know, you have high expectations for people and some environments, you know, high expectations is not considered a good thing. They just want people to be status quo. And you want to be in an environment that actually has high expectations.
So, right, and I think that the managers are really looking for reasons not to hire you, and that is what they're really looking for. So if you go and say you're a procrastinator, you're probably not going to get to the next step. So that's exactly. I mean, they are looking for you to come out with something, well, you know, gosh, I don't work well with people. Well, that would be another thing to get turned down from. So, you know, as I said, just be real careful on that. There are books on that standard question. But, yeah, those are some great ideas. I think we have another person here. We have Gail from Indiana, and she wants to know, she's got a ton of jobs on her resume. This is a great question. You know, a ton of jobs on the resume. She knows it. And, you know, some of them are probably for good reasons. Some of them are for bad reasons, for whatever reason. But, you know, how do you explain through that? And I guess, you know, sometimes managers come in and they're going to take you step by step, date by date. They're going to get every single time, date, employment. They're going to know every gap. They're going to know every time you went on an unemployment and why, and be very, very, very specific, because they want to know your motivations for leaving each job and why. And, you know, you're not going to be able to, you know, get around that. I think sometimes you just have to know and present each and every opportunity as it was a great experience, and this is why, and this is what I learned from it, and this is why I went to the next opportunity. I mean, you're going to have to write that all out. You know, what was your goal in leaving? You know, what was your experience at that company? Even if it was the worst experience of your entire life and the manager was horrible and whatever, you know, nobody's going to want that, you know, you to do that to them.
What is this?
So if you leave this company,
wrote the question.
This is Gail. Gail.
I would say to Gail, Gail, if you're listening, the fact you've had a lot of different jobs, obviously you presented well in person, so have a lot of confidence when you go on for your next interview.
Yeah.
And don't be ashamed of the fact you've had a lot of jobs, because sometimes, you know, life isn't exactly where you want to be. And let people know, some may tend to go from company to company, but sometimes, you know, there's a realization that the company's in financial issues. Don't go into too specific to bash a company or to badmouth a hiring manager if there's an issue. It's better off being a little bit vague. These are things I'm not comfortable talking about, because I'm not one to disparage a previous employer, because an employer does not want you, if you're not going to be in that environment anymore, to talk poorly about them. So, but be very confident. Obviously, if you've had a lot of different jobs, you've been presenting well enough to get hired. So that's a plus.
Okay. And as far as another question, and thank you for that. I think that is a great idea. Too many jobs a lot of people have, and it could be, you know, good or bad, or, you know, just depends upon what happens. So I think that makes sense. As far as other opportunities, we have another question here. What is a good reason why you are looking to leave? So, you know, reasons that people look to leave opportunities. So I guess that is another great question. I think, you know, honesty is great there. I mean, except if you're looking to leave your manager, or, you know, once again, you don't want to ever badmouth the company. So, you know, I would say, you know, you're looking for a growth opportunity. That seems to be always a good one. The new opportunity to grow, new challenges, just once again, the positive side of things. And Mike, what is your thought on that?
I tell people all the time, if you really want to leave, it's got to be for a reason that really has to do with a legitimate reason, not the fact that you're not getting enough attention. You know, you got to be really realistic as to where you want to leave. But typically, when they're not happy, or they're not in the right area of business, or, you know, a lack of performance, you have to really look deep inside of yourself and, why am I not being successful? Is the company have realistic expectations of what I'm supposed to be doing? And then that goes back to, why did you go to work here in the first place? Did you really research it? So, yeah, look at yourself first before you look at other reasons why. Am I not happy because I'm feeling pressure, because I'm not really producing? So look at yourself first before you worry about the exterior reasons why you're leaving, and you'll have a little more balance when you go through the process.
I agree with you, and I think, you know, owning your career and owning what you want to do, and if this is not your dream job, then you owe it to yourself to find it. And how do you do that? And, you know, how do you work things politically? And yeah, you're right. You have to look inside and figure out what you did right, wrong, and opportunities that you missed, etc., and then figure out what you're looking for in your next opportunity. I always ask candidates that, what is your dream job? And what do you want to do? And, you know, that's what we're all looking for, is to get that dream job, and hopefully to help you get there. Well, we will be, you know, obviously closing out in a bit. I think this has been an excellent show. I'm thrilled for all these email questions. And the ones we didn't get to, feel free to communicate with me on LynnRadiceLive@gmail.com. I will go through the show today and hopefully get back in touch with all of you and follow up with some of them that we did not get to today. It has been a very busy show. Please follow up with Mike Onet and his jobsforstoremanagers.com. It looks like a great site, a great niche site. If you are looking for store managers looking to hire, or if you're a candidate who is a store manager and looking for a new role, it looks like an amazing place to be. Mike, thanks so much for coming on today and taking time out of your busy day. It's been a pleasure as always. I love, you know, your candid advice and your motivational skills for people. So thank you once again for coming on. And this has been fun, as I said. So next week, we are going to have another fun show, and we'd love to get some more callers at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Next week, feel free to email in advance to LynnRadiceLive@gmail.com. And I look forward to talking to all of you. And we look forward to everybody having a very fun and busy week. And thank you, thank you, thank you for all the listeners today. We certainly do appreciate that. And we are out. We'll be back next week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Lynn Radice Live. Lynn will be back next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. We hope you'll join us then.